I stand before you as an imperfect man saved by a perfect God. Did you start? In me is nothing. All I have to offer is the hope of Jesus Christ. I can't offer any magic potions. I can't make some miracle happen in your life. I can't do those kind of things, but I know the one who can. And that's where my hope lies. That's who keeps me going. That's the one who keeps me focused. That's the one who keeps me in line. That's the one who takes me from who I used to be to who I am today. If it wasn't for Jesus, I'd be the same old person that I always was. And I just tell you, it wasn't very nice. And so, God's mercy, amazing grace. I mean, I can't express how much that means to me in my life for what he's done. I mean, just for what he's done. And I thank him for it. Anyway, we're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 5. And when you get there, we're going to start in verse 3, and I'm going to read through it. This wasn't part of my message until I got up this morning and got my word, and the Lord gave me this. And I incorporate it into part of the message that I'm going to preach. And I just believe it fits perfectly. And this is something, a little tidbit the Lord gave me this morning. That's why I like getting up reading, because the Lord just gives me little tidbits. And it's wonderful, wonderful. And I know a lot of people, they'll say, well, I can't read a Bible. Well, let me tell you something. Does it look like I grew up reading one? I never stepped foot in a church. But I tell you, the one who can teach you how to read it, and his name is Jesus Christ. He can teach you how to read a Bible. He can teach you how to study it. He can teach you how to live it. He can teach you. That's what he wants. And so if you're having a hard time, stay with it. Stay with it, because one time it's just going to pop in your head and you're going to start seeing something. And I'm telling you, I'm so addicted to this whole Bible, this whole church thing. I'm more addicted to this than I've ever been to any drug in my life. And I'm just telling you the truth, man. Because, I was on crystal meth for a lot of years. Hooked hard on that stuff. That thing ran my life. I mean, it had me looking horrible. And I'm just telling you now, there's nothing compared to the treasures that I get out of a King James Bible. So, hey, Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 3 through 6, it says, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Aha! Aren't your eyes upon the truth? Aren't you looking down? Are you seeing the truth? Are you seeing the... He's seeing the truth. He knows what's going on. I know there's us, especially for myself in the past, who I just thought, God can't see me what I'm doing. And I'm here to tell you today that God can see you no matter... That you cannot escape God. You cannot escape His eyes. You cannot escape His judgment. You cannot escape Him watching you. You cannot escape anything. If you think for one second... When you're in that dark room or you're out there doing what you're doing, that you're getting away with anything, just let me tell you this. There's a mark going next to your name, and God sees it. He knows it. It says, Are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they refuse to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have all together broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, a wolf of the evenings shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn into pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. That, I'm just telling you, is where people are in America today. They know of the Lord. They know who He is. They've heard of God, and yet they refuse. I'm just going to go through here and just spend a little minute on this. It says that God has stricken them, but they've grieved not. God has brought things into their life, and it hasn't bothered them. He's trying to show them the truth. He's trying to open their eyes to who and what He really is, and has done nothing to them. They're so hard. What's the very next thing He says? Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They refuse to see what God is trying to show them. And how is He showing it? Is He showing it for His sake? He's showing it for that sinner's sake. He's showing it for that one who doesn't have Jesus Christ. He's showing it for that one who he went on that cross and died for. That's the one he's trying to spend the time with and show. And yet, they continue to refuse it. They don't want it. People ask for help. Help, I need help. And then you try to give them the help that Jesus... Listen, I only know one help, and that his name is Jesus. I only know one thing, and that's the only thing that got me out of where I was in, was him. Was him. I can't offer any medical advice. I can't offer you write a prescription for pills and this and that. I can't do any of that. But what I can show you is the hope of Jesus Christ in a person's life who has brought them from the lowest, the gutters, who has picked me up out of the gutters and brought me to where I am today. Now, I may not be nothing in anybody's eyes, but you haven't lived my life. You didn't walk in my shoes. The Lord has brought me to places and I'm nothing. I'm no higher than anybody sitting in this room. There's nothing more important about me than any of you guys sitting in this chair. But God has brought me from a place of absolute corruption, desolation. I mean, my sentence was to go to hell. That's where I was going, to hell. And I mean, quick, I was going to bust slam it wide open. And the Lord looked down from heaven and he said, "No, that's going to be my child one day. He's going to be my child one day." The Bible says those who have been forgiven a lot, love a lot. Listen, let me just tell you. I've been forgiven a lot. I should have stand trial from now through eternity. And you know what? It would have been righteous of God to make me stand there and receive what I would have gotten. I was guilty of that thing. I don't sit there and say, that was me. Yeah, I'm guilty. God would have sat on the throne and I would have walked up to him and he would have said this charge and that charge and that charge, and what would I have done? Guilty, Lord. I'm guilty. And that's what he wants people to see. I taught this in Sunday school. He wants to take their heart and he's trying to get in there and he's trying to work in their heart. He wants to take their heart out and he wants to put it in front of them. You see, he already sees what's in your heart. He already knows you can't fool him, but he wants you to see what's in your heart. Yes. That's the key. That's the key, is to get people to see what is in their heart. What is in their heart? Hey, let me tell you this. When I got saved, did that mean I'm perfect? When I got saved, that mean I can still make the same mistakes as anyone sitting in this room can. Don't think it can't happen to me. Here's my desire, though, is not to. If I do make a mistake, oh man, I'm on my knees. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Let me just make this clear. I didn't bow down to anybody or anything in my life. Ever. You couldn't make me get on my knees. You couldn't bring me down. I wouldn't do that. Ask me today if I get on my knees for my Lord and Savior. I have a problem. I got a broken back. I got metal up in my neck and my back and everything else. I tell you what, I'll lay flat on that ground right there if the Lord asked me to. Not a problem at all. Why? How that happened? Because he showed me my heart and I seen it. He showed me what I was and I agreed with him. For the first time in my life, I understood, oh my goodness. And I thank God for that. Thank God for him spending his time. But it says they've consumed them and they refuse correction. They've made their faces harder than a rock. You see, you know, people walk around screw faced today. Dylan knows what that term is. Screw faced. Everybody's just hard as a rock. They're refusing what God is trying to show them. Their faces become a stone. It's hard to get somebody to smile at you today. Because there's nothing worth it. You know why? People walk around this life thinking there's no hope. Yeah. But there is a hope.
Amen.
There is a hope. And that's our job as Christians, is to get out there and let these people know there is a hope for you. You do not have to stay in that mess. God has got something for you, man. Please see it. You know, I do a work. I go around visiting people and this and that. And you know what? I could care less if I got a dollar bill ever to my name for doing it. I could care. Keep your money. Put it back in your pocket. Have fun with it. I don't go out there for pay. I don't go out there for me. I'm going to gain nothing. I'm not trying to sit here and make somebody try to get saved because I come and work. Listen, I would love it. I would love if somebody got saved or whatever. But I'm not trying to force that. It says one water. Well, excuse me, one planted, one watered, God gave the increase. I can't give the increase, but I can sure plant and water. I can sure go out there and plant that, and that's my, that's what I do. That's why I go out there, and that's why I go out there and with these people. Because here, I don't even look at. Please, if I could move myself all the way, and so all you see is the Jesus Christ that's standing inside me. That's what I'd much rather have. I can care less what you think about me. The one I want you to think of, the one I want you to see, is the one who saved me and made me who I am today. And He has that for every single person in this world. How hard is it to fathom that He died for every single soul? You know, there's child molesters and all that stuff out there. Can you put that in your heart that God died for them as well? Think about that. That's a hard thing to think about. But He did. Because He loved, God so loved the world. The world. Those who have been born and died. Those who will be born. I'm going to be a grandfather again. Just found out my son and daughter are going to have a little girl. You know, they got a little boy now, and now they're going to have a little girl. You know what that child's born with? The children are born with sin nature. It's just done. Now two things can happen. Either grandpa can help show them some things about Jesus Christ, or that can be refused and their face can become as hard as a rock. I'm just telling you right now, as I stand here today, Luke and Autumn would not be who they are today if Jesus Christ didn't save me and her mom. I'm just telling you right now, do you know what they would be when they grew up? I'm pretty sure they'd be headed for drugs and alcohol and everything else that me and their mom got into. That's just in their blood. You can go ahead and track my whole line back on my mom's side and my dad. My mom's side is French Canadian Indian, drinkers. Ready for my dad's side? Irish. Drinkers and fighters. My kids had no hope. You understand? I was an alcoholic 7 days a week, carrying around 40 ounces, wrapped up in a brown paper bag, and that's how I walked around. Jack Daniels in one pocket, a little small bottle, some whatever else, some Coke or whatever in the other pocket, with a 40 ounce with me everywhere I went. I never went anywhere without it. I smell alcohol now when I want to puke. Ask my wife, she'll tell you, I can't even stand the smell of it now. What happened? God finally showed me my heart, and I agreed with Him. He finally showed me. I wasn't even going to preach that. But see, God is good like that. Amen. Therefore, I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish. Why are they foolish? It tells you right here, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I just have to say this. If there's a person in this room, whether you believe God or not, or whether you believe He is real or not, does not mean it's not true. Are you willing to play Russian roulette with your eternity? Are you willing to spin that gun and just hope? Maybe there isn't a God. Is that what you're playing? Is that what you want to play? Because it says you won't go in hell and party with your friends like we all, you know, quoted. I just go to hell and party with my friends. Let me tell you this. This is what it says in the Word of God. And I'm a fool. You're right. I believe the Word of God. That's okay. I like that. But it says it's going to bind that person hand and foot. Cast them into hell. They're not going to voluntarily go there. Do I think God is a mean God for doing that? No, He's righteous. His judgment is right. You have to understand, God does not think on our planes. People want to take God and they want to bring Him down to their thoughts, to their ways. God has He says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So therefore, how are you trying to bring God down to your level? You have to agree with that what God says is right and true, what His judgments are. He didn't choose for anybody to go to hell. It's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's what the Bible says. So who makes the choice to go to hell? That person does. Why? God is not going to force Himself on you. It's going to be a free will, love choice that you choose the Lord. That's what it's going to be. How much better? What if I had to force my kids to love me? That ain't love. But what if they just choose to love me? What if on their own free will they just choose to love me because I'm their dad? They love who I am, the things I do. How much better is that love? That's love. They don't know the judgment of their God. 1 Peter 5:8, because he talks about here, I think it's verse 6, Jeremiah 5:6 says, wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them. If you read your Bible and you go back in the Old Testament to the sacrifices, you'll see where in the Old Testament sometimes they would slay a sacrifice. Sometimes they would kill a sacrifice. There's a difference. When they slayed a sacrifice, it had something to do with sin. When they did a peace offering and so on like that, they killed it.
Here's the difference. Slay has violent intents behind it. I mean, I'm going to use this as an example. Excuse my goriness. Slay. If I want to slay somebody, I'm going to stab them 40 times, poke their eyes out, step on their head. That's slaying somebody. Killing somebody, you might shoot them one time. It may be premeditated, maybe not. But the difference is the violence behind the act. Yes. You know where Jesus Christ says that comes from? Our hearts. That's what's stored up in our hearts. Esau hated Jacob. He said, I wanted to what? He said, I hate my brother and I want to slay him. See how deep that hatred is? He didn't want to kill his brother. He wanted to slay him. There was violence in his heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says what? The heart is desperately wicked. Above all things. That's what's in our hearts. Anyway, the lion. Jeremiah 5:6, wherefore a lion shall out of the forest shall slay them. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I'm going to get in the definition of devour. To destroy, to annihilate, to consume, to destroy spiritually, to ruin the soul. That is the work of the devil. That's what he wants to do for every single person in this room. How do I know? Anybody know what the Satanic Bible's called? Do you know who wrote it? I can tell you why, because I was in it. I was into Satanism for years. Studied the Bible and everything. Studied the Satanic Bible, got into some of the curses and everything else. I showed my wife the haunted cemetery that we used to go to up in Albany and do all kinds of crazy stuff. Used to carve upside down crosses and everything with razor blades and myself. Devil wanted to destroy me, Doug. He wanted me to go to hell with him. And it wasn't going to be the party, because you know what says happens to those in hell? Screaming and burning. In the dark, being bit up. Forever. You feel like you're falling forever in the darkness. You can't see what's going on. Guess who would have been next to me? The devil. And that's what I'm going to preach on tonight. Because there's people in this room. There's people in Black Creek Baptist Church. There's people out there on the street who are blinded by what the devil is putting in their minds. They can't see that. They can't see it. They can't. And you know what? If you can wake them up and show them, let them see what the devil really wants, what's really going on. I'm just telling you, all that hell stuff and all that, it never scared me. I did all that reading the Satanic Bibles and the curses and all that stuff. Hell was nothing. Hell was like a heaven to me. That would have been my heaven if I was still in that stuff. You see, God broke that curse in my life. The Lord stepped in and took that from me. He delivered me from a gang I should have never been delivered from. Literally, should have never happened. The devil was trying to destroy me. And then God came, showed me my heart, and I understood, oh my goodness. But the devil, for all those years, for 40 some odd years, my mind was blinded by the things of the devil. Why? He was a roaring lion. He wanted to devour me. He wanted to annihilate Dale Bory. What better way to annihilate me than have me cast in the lake of fire for eternity? He's mad at me now. I don't care if he's mad. He had me for 40-something years. Now, if it's God's will, maybe I'll get another 50, 60 years of serving the Lord. If not, then I'm going to glory. It's all right. It's a win-win for me. It is. And I love it. I love it. So anyway, 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Which believe not. That means there are people sitting in this room tonight who believe not that God is who He is. And their minds are blinded by the God of this world. Blind. Can't see in front of them. But there's an answer to it. Let me finish the verse. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest. Hang on. There's an answer for it. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What is the way to help open these people's eyes? What did this tell us? The light of the gospel. Preaching the word of God is going to open their eyes to it. Blind. Blind. Here, right here. I was blind for 40 years. For
40 years the devil had me under control, and here I thought I was the tough guy. I thought I was the one in control. I thought I had everything in my life doing right, and I was blinded by the devil. He had full control over me, and he destroyed everything that I could ever had. I don't, most of you know that I have kids out there who are in their 20s, 27, and their 20s and all that, have their own families, and I never once raised any of them. Just turned my back and left them. Walked out on them. I remember my son, Dale, he just gave me a kiss. He was ready to go. But my son, Mikey, and how many times did I tell this story? My son, Mikey, hung on my leg. He wouldn't let go of me. And I left him. I walked out on him. It didn't stop me because I wanted the drugs. I wanted to party. And I left him. How many years ago did I find him? It wasn't many. 3 or 4 years ago now? I searched for my whole life after that to find them. Boy, I thought, I didn't know if they were dead or alive. About 3 years ago, I think the Lord opened a door for me to finally have contact with. They're grown men having their own babies and everything else. You know what, though? Their lives are destroyed. Their men have touched them, done things to them. Their lives are destroyed. Because the devil, I thought I had control. I'll tell you, that's how much control I had. My daughter, I love her dearly. I'm thankful we have a relationship. Walked out on her. Left them. They just stopped me. People say, well, I love that person. I love that. Really? Really? When you can walk? And I'm saying because I was guilty of it, man. That their love for me did not stop me from doing that. I would tell their mother, oh, I love you and this and that, and then I put them in the hospital. How much love is that? Literally, I did a year in jail. A year in the county jail down in Florida for beating the daylights out of the woman that I loved. That's love. She believed me. But I was in control. Blinded. Notice the devil blinds the minds and not the eyes. Because if he blinded the eyes, then they would not see the world or self. And there would be a good chance that they would see Jesus. If you couldn't see the things of this world, there'd be a good chance that people would get saved quicker. So that's why he goes after the mind. Because the eyes see everything. He says, hey, look at that girl. Hey, look at that money. Hey, look at those drugs. Hey, look at this. And you see him, and you want him, and you go after him. That's how he's controlling your mind. He's not blinding your eyes. He's blinding your mind. Why? Look at this. What did he do with Jesus Christ? He brought him up on the out there. And he what did he do? He tempted him with all the things of the world, did he not? Guess what he's doing to you? Think you're in control? I say that. Let me ask you one question. How did Jesus defeat the devil up there? The very thing I'm holding in my hand is what Jesus quoted. It's what he quoted. How are you going to defeat the devil? That's your flashlight to see. He's got your mind. It says, lest the glorious gospel of Christ open their eyes. Here's your flashlight. You really want to see? This is your flashlight. This is going to make you see. This is going to make your blind so, or your mind so it's not blind to what the devil has it for you anymore. Anybody in here sick of being devoured by the devil? Anybody sick of not having control of their life? Anybody just absolutely tired of what the devil is doing to you and trying to turn you inside out and fill you with lies? I guarantee you this. I was never raised in church. The Lord Jesus Christ saved me from the grips of the devil. What made me believe this is for the first time in my life I could sleep. The first time in my life I didn't need a drug to knock me out. I would drink myself until I passed out or take some kind of drug. I'd sit there for three, four, five, six, seven days straight. I mean straight up. And then I'd sit there and smoke two or three blunts and drink beer to try to put myself to sleep. I did all that because I had all this pain inside of me. Pain of the men who took advantage of me when I was a little boy, who took from me things that I could never have back. And it bred anger and hate inside of me. And I went out there and I lived it that way, and the devil had me in his hands. Had me. From a young one. Got me. It was hurtful. But there became a time in my life when I became old enough to make a decision. And I could have chose the right way, and I chose not to. You know why? I had so much vile hate and anger inside of me. I mean, I'm just telling you now, I breathed. What was tattooed on my hand right here, Amy? H-A-T-E was tattooed on my hand. You know when I did that? 14 years old. By 14 years old, I had more hate in me than most hate groups think they have. Guarantee you that. You know what it says on my hand now? H-O-P-E, hope. I went and got it changed after I got saved. I don't care if you agree with me getting a tattoo or not. I didn't want hate on me anymore because that's not what I'm about anymore. I got hope now. I got the hope of Jesus Christ in me. I'm just telling you, man. You want something different and you're going the wrong way because the devil's got you blinded. You don't have to believe me, though. That's fine. Doesn't mean it ain't true. I don't come up here to preach just to tickle your ears and I'll tell you, you know, try to tell you this stuff for my sakes. I do it for your sakes, for each and every person in this room. You know why? I want you to have what I have. Doug walked in today and said, boy, you got a pretty nice house. You know what? I never had that in my entire life. I got it now, don't I, Doug? That's just some of the stuff the Lord gave me and my wife. Amen. Just some of the stuff we get. You know what we live in? A double wide. But you know what that is? That's our castle. You know what's there? There's love there. There's Bible there. There's crying that goes on. There's healing that goes on there. People can be sick there. It's okay. We can hold each other. Hey, what do we do before we leave, kids, every day in the morning? What do?
Pray.
Ah. We hold hands in a circle. We pray. We don't walk out that door without praying as a family. That's what Jesus Christ done. And there's not a person in this room that he would not do that for. And even more. If you think he done something special to me, you should see what he's waiting to do for you. It says that he's able to do above and beyond anything that we could ever imagine. Don't you want that, man? Aren't you hungry for it? Man. Lord, help them. Lord, help these people sitting here. Help them to hunger for that. It's not worth it. It's not worth dying. It's not worth playing Russian roulette and maybe taking that chance. It's not worth it. Walking out these doors tonight. It's not worth it. Don't let them blind your minds anymore. Let the gospel open your eyes. It says that lest the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Save people. This is our job, is to let that gospel shine unto them so they can see their way. They need to see the way. They see that way, I'm telling you what, right now. I lived a life. And with everything that I could, I lived a life full of hell. And now with everything that I am, I'm going to live a life for Jesus Christ. I'm sold out, man. If not, I'm on my way to being sold out. And I love being sold out. I lived for 40 years for hell, and now I'm ready to sell out for Jesus Christ and give it up. I'm ready to take it and just give it all to him. Sick of this garbage out. This garbage, you know what? This world ain't got nothing for me. I came from there. And I tell you what, I don't want to look back. What's the Bible say? Those who started going forward and go ahead and turn around and go back, they're not worthy for the kingdom. That's what it says. I don't want that back there. You can't tempt me with anything back there that I didn't already have. I don't want it. I get money. I had pockets full of money. Not millions. I mean, I wasn't no, you know, big old gangster like that. But I had thousands. I lived in hotels and motels. I didn't have to drive a car because I paid some crackhead to drive me around. I know all that. But what are you going to offer me back that I should give up what I have now? What's back there that I should go back for? The gang life? The drugs? Going down to 120 some odd pounds looking like a crackhead with all these sores all over me from smoking all night? No sleep? The watching me walk away from them three? That's what you're going to offer me? Smelling like beer, sleeping in vomit? That's what you're going to offer me? I don't want it. You can have all of it. Have fun with it. I'm sorry you're there. You don't have to be. But your mind is blinded. You can't see. There's a blinder in front of your eyes. You just absolutely cannot see it. But I'm the fool. Good, call me a fool. So you know what? One person called me brainwashed. I said, good, I'm brainwashed, I'm mouthwashed, I'm body washed, I'm blood washed. Hey, I'm washed, and I like being washed. I like being washed. I look clean, don't I look clean, Abe? Yeah. I don't stink. I smell like good deodorant. It's a dollar store deodorant, but it smells good. I like it. Notice the devil blinds the minds and not the eyes. So he blinds the mind, the control center. He blinds the thoughts. The heart conceives the act, and then the blinded mind reacts to it. Notice it didn't say the devil blinded the eyes of the people, but the minds. Why the mind? We already know that the heart is deceitful above all things and wicked. So if the heart is already wicked, and even more wicked than the devil himself, what else is there to attack? The mind. Your mind. The promises of this world is what he's going to get you. Why do I say that? He did it to Jesus Christ. Why would he not do it to you? And you know what most of us do? Hook, line, and sinker. And I point back right here. Right? I was in it for 40 years. I did it. 40 years of my life, of children that I hurt and all that kind of... 40 years of that, of my life, gone. Because I bit what the devil offered me. You know what? I can guarantee you this. He didn't make me a king over kingdoms. He didn't. I starved a whole lot of times. Most of the time, I never had a place to stay. So all the promises that he said he would give Jesus Christ, he didn't give me not one. Budweiser didn't come and visit me in prison. Jack Daniels didn't send me any money. The dope man didn't come and take care of me. My boys on the street, who I will die for you, Dale, never came to see me, never came to take care of me. So let me ask you something. What is there back there that I could possibly want? What? There is something better. I trust the people in this room more than I ever trusted anybody that I ever ran the streets with. Tell you that. I have Christian brothers who stuck knives in my back. And I can take that more than I could anybody out there in the street. Because I still love them people. Yes. I don't have any aught whatsoever. No, I hold no grudges against them. None. None. And I'm supposed to give all this up for what? Have it. Rub it on your chest. Have fun with it. Call me if you need me. I don't want it. Can't sell it to me. The mind, the very thoughts of people, the control center. The heart conceives the act or the sin, and then the blinded mind reacts to it. It's the recipe of destruction. A soul lost for hell. The life of utter despair. And one who cannot see the separation between God and them, who thinks that they're doing okay. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 1. I'm going to read 10 verses here. And I'm just going to point out to you how blinded by the devil the minds of Americans have become. When I'm done reading these verses, and most of you might know them, when I'm done reading these verses, you tell me this is not describing the people in America. This day and age. Romans 1. We're going to start in verse 22. Romans 1, 22. Romans 1, 22. We'll go down to 32. It says, professing themselves to be wise and became fools. I thought I was wise. I thought I was wise that everything that I did, I thought I knew everything. And then one day when Jesus Christ showed me, I said, oh my goodness, I am a fool. I thought I had everything under control. I didn't need nobody. I didn't need help. Nothing. What a fool. Let me ask you something. Can any of you guys promise me the years that I lost in prisons, jails, rehabs, and mental hospitals? Gone. I'll never get them back. For you that have started, or for you that are heading in that direction, it's gone forever. It's gone forever. Alexa, every choice you make will affect you for the rest of your life, honey. The rest of your life. You ask my wife, you want to know humiliation? I want to go to college, I got to sit in front of a committee. Because of the violence on my record. I got to go sit in front of a committee and they got to approve me to go sit in their college. To get a job, I started out as cleaning toilets in McDonald's. 2 days a week. So I started. Within a year, I was the second assistant of that store. I ran that whole store. The owner would come and see me and just tell me, my goodness, you're making me money. Huh? That's totally that's way at the other end of the spectrum. You're looking at a person who didn't work. I didn't have to work. I was slinging drugs and thieving and all that kind of stuff. Why would I have to work? But you know now I can't go on disability. I hurt back. I'm 100% disabled. Every one of my doctors will tell you that. My surgeons will tell you that and everything. But I can't. You know why? Because I don't have enough work credits. Better work. You think you want to retire one day? What if something happens to you? What if you get hurt? What are you going to live off of?
You won't get disability. Can I get disability? You know what the lawyers tell me? Call me when you get enough work credits. You don't have enough. Here's somebody who needs it. Would help my family. Just to let you know, I trust God. I'm not worried about it. I ain't. I don't go around worrying about it. But I'm just saying, the consequences of my foolishness, I can't even go on disability now. That's one of my consequences of being a fool. Here we go. Professing themselves to be wise. How wise was I? I was so wise. I knew everything. I was a fool. The Bible says that. 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lust of their hearts. Want to know why you're trapped in what you're in? That's what's in your heart. God has just given you what you want. The pain, the misery, all that stuff that you're in, God has just given you what you want. You're asking for it. He's only giving you what you want. Don't cry about it. Don't be upset about it. Take it and go ahead and run with it. That's what you want. There, you guys, most of you guys have been sitting in here long enough and hearing the word long enough to understand, man, maybe there's something to this thing. And you know what? You're playing with it. You're playing Russian roulette. But whatever you're in, whatever troubles you're in, you don't have to be there. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You're not stuck. God has turned you over to yourself. He's turned you over to what's in your heart. You're getting what you asked for. For 40 years, I got what I asked for. Misery. Horrible. Nightmares. Yeah, I'm just telling you. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, to beasts and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. To what? Dishonor their bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. People would go out there and they would die for save the whales, but God forbid if they would go out there and do anything for Jesus Christ. Why? Save the forest, save this. And I understand that there's certain points to that. But they're taking it way out of context. Why? The Bible said that's what they're going to do. They're going to serve the creation more than the creator. That's exactly what they're doing. Do you know my wife can become an idol in my life? If I start worshiping my wife and my children more than I do my creator, he's the one who created them. But nobody sees that. Why? Because they've turned it into a lie. It says they've changed the truth into a lie. They've taken the truth and they've turned it into a lie. 26, listen to me, here's their punishment. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. And even the women did change their natural use of that which is against nature. I want you to see that, and I want you to hear what that just said. Against nature. The things that are going on with sodomites and the ladies and all that kind of stuff is against nature. It's a punishment. You're not born like that. It's something you chose, and then God turns you over to it, and it's a punishment. Now, we're to go out there and bash those people and hate them? God forbid. They should know the same hope. They should know the same hope that we have. Because they're just trapped in it. People are turned over to different... Some people are turned over to drugs. Some people are turned over to alcohol. Some, they're turned over to their sodomy and lesbianism. That's what they're turned over to. So they don't have the right to have the hope we do? Remember, with man, it's not possible. With God, all things are possible. He can't save them. He saved me. Why couldn't he save them? You all agree with me that he can save a child molester and anything. Why can't he save them? I don't agree with a thing they do. Not at all. But I don't go around bashing them. Let me ask, are you guys allowed to go around bashing people like that who are different? No. Oh, no. Oh, God forbid if I ever heard it. I don't allow that. I don't allow that because you know what? I don't know what God has in works. I don't know what that person may be having going on in their heart. And I'm going to have me or my family go around there and smash them like that? Let me ask you, did it help anything? Didn't help a thing. He says,
27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust toward one toward another. Men working that which is unseemly, receiving, listen to me, receiving themselves the recompense, their error, which was meat. God turned them over. That's their punishment. You wanted it? Here you go. Have it. So what it just said right there. I mean, if you want to argue with that, go ahead. You'll have to argue with God. He's the one who wrote this. But he's telling you that's a punishment. That drug addict, that's their punishment. That alcoholic, that's their punishment. Why? Because he's turned them over to their self. This is what they want. This is what they want. This is the way that they are using to think they're going to get themselves out of things, and it's not working. Definition of insanity. Does anybody know it? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting something different. That's the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over and over, and you're getting the same outcome, but yet you think it's going to be different. That's insane. But that's what God has turned them over to. What did he turn them over to? That's what it says. 28, and even they, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Uh-oh. How many in this room honestly want to retain God in their knowledge? Be honest. How many? How many really and honestly in their heart want to retain God in their knowledge? It's easy to tell. You know how? Look at their life. And what's it say? And even they did not elect to retain God in their knowledge. So what happened? God gave them over to the reprobate mind. Do you know what that means? The people that are sitting in this room, people that are sitting in Black Creek, people that are out there in the world, you're going to keep rejecting Jesus Christ, and one day he's going to just shut it off for you. It's all over with. The things of God will never mean a thing to you ever again. The Holy Ghost will stop working in your life. He'll just leave you out there. A reprobate mind. When you get to that point where you have a reprobate mind, it's over. It's over with. Forget it. Why? Because you continually stiffen and harden your neck against God. You don't have to believe him. That's fine. It's America. Believe what you want. Go out there. You can worship a sewer hole if you want. I mean, you can worship a doorknob. You can make God whatever you want it to be. But I'm just telling you now, if you want to play Russian roulette because you think you know everything, go ahead and read Romans 1, 22 through 32, and I'll tell you, it'll tell you different. But that's right. You don't believe the Bible. You're right. You know why? Because you became a fool. You changed the truth of God into a lie. You have no clue. You know what the Bible calls you? A fool. I didn't call you a fool. The Bible called you a fool. You got a problem with it? Go take it out with God. I know people, personally, who have run their mouth on God and had their lives absolutely destroyed. Yeah. Destroyed. Destroyed. You go ahead. Keep playing. Just keep playing. You're going to cross that line one time, and I'm telling you now, you're going to get exactly what you want. And you know whose fault it's going to be? Yours. Because God's going to turn you over to you. Now, before that, he wants to take and he wants to show you, before that even gets there, even in this day, right today, even in this day and age, God is still working in people to try to show them what they are. And yet they refuse. That's not what he wants. He doesn't want to leave anybody in that position. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, disrespectful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, impeccable, unmerciful. That's America. Yeah. Those are the people that are among us today. I would never have imagined in a million years, where, and Miss Pat would understand this, where I see children running over adults. The children in America today have the rule over the adults. Why? Because America has been turned over to itself. It's been turned over to its heart. They have two. Listen to me. Just think for one second. Some of you older folks, when you guys were in school, it was okay to have God in school and everywhere else. Since God has gotten kicked out of school, God's been getting kicked out of buildings and all that, how much better has America gotten since God has been kicked out? No. I mean, has America improved? No. Has America gotten better since people say, I don't want nothing to do with God and blah? Has it gotten better when they've done that? But who can see it? They have blinded minds. Listen, there are people. There's a person who used to come to our church who looked at our wall, and we have a picture of the Ten Commandments, and they go, what are those? Be honest. How many really know what the Ten Commandments are? How many can say them? I can't. I mean, I know what they are, but I can't say them in order, but I know what they are. But that's just generation. That's what's happening in America today. There is no Bible. There is no God in anything. Nothing. But go walk around. It's okay to be Muslim. It's okay to be an atheist. I've seen more articles around Easter time about atheists than I've seen anything about Christianity. It's okay to be that, though. But God forbid. Do you know why? Do you know why Christianity's hated? Because it's the truth. And you know what the devil wants to do? Destroy it. Why is it the only religion that's so hardly attacked? Tell me that. Tell me. If you know the answer, please and tell me, why is Christianity the most attacked and hated religion in the world? Tell me that. Because the devil wants to kill it. He wants to annihilate Christianity. Why do you think that is? Because it's the truth. Don't you think there's a little truth to all this stuff? If you're sitting in here tonight and you think there's no truth, and I feel sorry for you because I'm just telling you now, you're about to fall off the edge. God says he turned them over to a reprobate mind. That means you will no longer serve God. You will not no longer seek God. You can care less about the things of God. And I'm just telling you now, listen, and I'm not going to mention no names. My Bible school today, I was preaching, teaching, and a 12-year-old little boy, the Holy Ghost was moving in there, some tears were flowing, and a little boy sat there and he laughed. I said, you're in danger. And you don't even care at 12 years old. Go ahead. You know it. You got this. Look at your life and tell me how much you think you really got it. How much? You can look at my life. You can see how much I got in control. You can see how much I got. You can see. I don't have to prove it. You can just see it. How much? How about you? How about your life? What's going on? I needed help. That was the thing was, I understood that I needed help. My wife, Amy Morey, sitting right here, can vouch for this. 8 years ago, I was taking 19 psychotropic pills a day for explosive anger disorder, of all this kind of violent stuff and depressions. This is what I was on a daily basis to keep me from hurting people. Because they said that when I got angry, my brain waves were as though somebody having a convulsion. And I had no control of myself whatsoever. None. Ask her, she'll tell you. And I sat there and I laid on the couch. And the psychiatrist looked at me and said, Mr. Morey, there's nothing else I can do for you. Those were his words to me. He was right. Jesus Christ stepped in, though. You know how many of those I take today? I mean, do I beat you? Kids, are you guys beaten to a bloody... How abused do you guys get? Have I ever tried to fight anybody in this room? Have I ever disrespected anybody in this room? If I did, forgive me. I'm sorry. I wouldn't mean it. Now, in the past, my mother's been a witness to me jumping off the porch doing that to people, annihilating them right in front of her, robbing their money and everything else. My mother's witnesses to it. For 40 years, that was my life. I mean, I got put in the hospital. I got beat. The 15 bikers about killed me. I almost died. They tried to kill me, man. 15 bikers. They split my whole eye open. They broke my eye socket. The meat was hanging on my eye. I mean, they beat me my head. I couldn't put a hoodie over my head. They beat me until I almost died. Thank God a taxi cab came by and he blew the horn and they ran away, man. I mean, they beat me to pulp. You know what happened about a week or so after I healed up a little bit? Still couldn't see out of my eyes. I went there with a .22 caliber gun. I kicked in that door. Thank God nobody was sitting there and I shot up their clubhouse. You don't have to believe me. I don't care if you believe me or not. It's the truth. Anger. Violent. That's what I was. That was my life. The devil had me trapped in that garbage. And I thought I was cool, man. I was a tough guy. Had me for 40 years blinded. For 40 years of my life. Do you think I would ever want any of that back? I wouldn't want a lick of it back. Not a lick of it. Thank God for the glorious gospel that shone upon me and opened my eyes to this thing. Thank God. And I ain't even getting close to finish, but I'm going to do a little bit more here. It said, being filled, it says, without understanding, covet breakers, without natural affection, impeccable, unmerciful, who knowing, let me ask you something. Somebody please in this room, raise your hand if you don't know the judgment of God. Or at least you've heard it. Even, you don't have to believe it. I'm not telling you had to believe it, but you've heard what the judgment of God is, correct? There's not a person. If not, I'll tell you about it right now. If you have heard of it, let me. This is what America has become. Verse 32: Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in doing them. Now you're telling God, "Pooh, I'm going to do them anyway," and you know the judgment of God. That's what it says. People, that is America today. Those are the people that Jesus Christ is down. I want you to go out there and work with them. I'm the one who's got to stick my neck out there. You know what? It's worth every second of it. That maybe just one will get it. One. One. And for 99% of the time, I don't get paid. People give me love offerings and stuff like that. But I don't regularly, on a regular basis, get paid. You know what my payment is? To see somebody have the hope in them that I have in me. That's really my honest pain. That's really what my desire is. Chris, I'm your friend because I don't get paid to be your friend. I'm your friend because I want to see something happen in your life. Doug, I'm your friend because I want to see something happen in your life. Dylan and Kyra, I'm your friend because I want to see something happen in your life. And for no other reason. None. None. I got no gain from it. I'm not going to come back and, oh, look, I'm working in their life. Oh, look at me. You can keep all that baloney. I want to see you have a life. You know what the Lord says? That they'll have a life and have it more abundantly. I think we have a pretty abundant life, Amy. And that's only here. That's only on earth. I even have more in heaven coming. Oh, my goodness, it gets better. I'm sorry, but here's what I say. What me and my wife have is a little bit of heaven on earth. We have a little bit of heaven on earth with our family, with how we live our life, with what's going on. And if you think for one second that I couldn't go out there and live the lifestyle I used to, you're crazy. You don't know me. You have no clue. You got the wrong one. I don't have that desire anymore. I don't want it. My eyes have been open. How are people to protect their minds from the devil? Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou shalt keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." If you can just take and break who you are and what you are and keep your eyes and your mind stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ and not your wants, not your desires, not your problems, he said he will keep you in perfect peace. And I'm sorry if you don't understand that. But I can tell you this. I can tell you with as much as that I'm breathing here, that I understand the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I get that. I have that. If you've never experienced it, I'm telling you right now, it's better than anything you've ever gotten yourself into. God is just good, and he's waiting with open arms and open. He's just sitting waiting, and he's saying, come. It's not a hard life. It's not a bad life. But I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to close with this. Christianity is not for the weak. If you think Christians are weak, then you live it for 24 hours the way I live my life. And tell me how weak it really is. But the problem is you can't do it. Can't do it. But you know, Jesus Christ can make you do it. And you know what? It doesn't become to the fact where he makes you do it. You want to do it. It becomes a desire that you really desire. You desire to want to do that. Oh my goodness, can you believe that I want to be a Christian? I want to live my... I mean, those are desires that I would never in a million years would have ever had. But there's not a person in this room that he doesn't want to give that desire to. What do you want? That's your choice. I don't get mad if people say, well, I don't believe in God. I don't get mad at him. That's fine. But at least give him a chance. You say you don't believe in this and that. Have you ever studied the Bible? Have you ever went through it and studied it and tried living it and really see what happened? I don't think you have, because if you have, your life would be different. I'm just telling you that right now. And if you have, then you're a reprobate. Those are really the only two answers. You're a reprobate. You'll never want to. God will. That's it. But I don't believe there's anybody in this room who's a reprobate. I think God's got his arms open for each and every person in this room who doesn't have them. And for those of us who do have them, we need to go out there and share some hope with these people. And if they don't want it, that's fine. Don't sweat it. That's not your problem. That's God's problem. You just obey God and do what he wants you to do, and he'll take care of the rest. Remember, one watered, one planted, who gave the increase? Hey, if they don't want it, that's on them. Your job is to go out there and plant and water. Let God give the increase. That's all we're told to do. And I'm done. Doug? Would you close us in prayer, brother, please? Thank you.